So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's called Lord of the Rings.
Oh, like a Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
No, it's based on the Lord of the Rings fantasy books, like this one's about the Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay, so what happens in this thing?
Well, we're gonna meet this bad guy, Sauron, right? And he's super evil.
And what's his deal, like, character-wise?
He's super evil.
I love it.
And he has this ring that makes him super powerful, so he's just massacring people left and right on a battlefield. I mean, this guy's really good at killing.
Okay.
And then he, like, reaches out to this human, Isildur, who cuts off his finger, which makes the ring fall and destroys him.
Why did he reach out for him?
To kill him, I guess.
Did he not have a weapon?
No, he did. He had like a big mace thing. So why did he reach out with his hand?
I don't know.
All right, then keep your secrets.
Anyway, so then that guy and this elf Elrond, they head up to this Mount Doom place because they have to throw this ring into some fire. That's the only way to destroy it and rid the world of evil.
Right.
But this human guy, he's like, you know, actually, I'm gonna keep it. I like it, so I'm gonna keep it and it's mine now.
Wow, does Elrond try to stop him?
Of course he does.
Okay, good.
Verbally, a little.
Yeah, seems like a lot of potential problems could be avoided if you put a bit more effort into that.
Probably. So anyway, years later, this hobbit creature, Bilbo Baggins, he has the ring now.
Okay.
And he's having this big birthday party at this hobbit place called the Shire.
Fun.
So his buddy, this wizard Gandalf, shows up and they smoke their pipes together. They have a great time. Bilbo's like, ah, this is the finest weed in the area.
Oh, it's like that, huh?
No, it's not like that.
Oh.
Anyway, so eventually Gandalf finds out about the ring, and he tells Bilbo's sort of adopted nephew Frodo about it, because Bilbo, he left.
And what does he say?
Well, that Sauron's life force is bound to the ring, and he just needs to get the ring back to come back and be evil all over the place.
Oh, yikes, for sure.
Yeah, and there are some really creepy ring servant guys called the Nazgul, and they're coming for the ring, and they are intense.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and they're on their way to the Shire, and they know that somebody named Baggins has it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so Gandalf tells Frodo that he and his buddy Samwise, they need to get out of the Shire.
Okay.
And Gandalf, he takes off to go see this other wizard, Saruman.
And how does that go?
Oh, not well. It turns out that he's evil now, and he forces Gandalf to breakdance against his will.
Very rude.
And Frodo and Sam, they meet up with these other hobbits, Merry and Pippin, and eventually the Nazgul catch up to all of them.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, and like I said, these things are intense. Like, they chop a guy's head off on sight, unprovoked.
Very scary, so I guess they must massacre the hobbits in the same way, huh?
No, they kind of just shove Sam and Merry and Pippin to the side out of the way.
Oh.
And then one of them stabs Frodo.
Oh boy, here we go. They kill Frodo, huh? Wow.
No, just like a little shoulder stab.
Oh.
And then this guy Aragorn that the hobbits were hanging out with, he shows up to help. So he kind of shoos them away with some fire and they all run away.
I gotta say, these Nazgul seem less and less threatening with every sentence you say.
Well, no, they're super deadly, just not with the main characters because they need to be alive for the story.
Oh, very story considerate Nazgul.
Anyway, so after the breakdancing incident, Gandalf gets put on this super high tower with no walls.
Wow, it's gonna be tough for him to get out of there.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he talks to a moth and then an eagle friend shows up and he flies away.
Oh, a very helpful bird.
Yeah, and so Saruman, he's helping Sauron build an army of orcs. And these things are crazy. I mean, they're born fully grown, covered in goo.
Oh, samesies.
What?
What?
So eventually the good guys get to this elf place called Rivendell and they have a big council meeting with a bunch of different races.
Okay.
And they're all kind of just arguing about how to get this ring to Mount Doom and Mordor, right?
Right.
And Frodo finally steps forward like, hey, I'll bring the ring to Mordor. I can't get corrupted. I don't really care about power and stuff.
Pretty nice of him.
Yeah, and so Aragorn is like, you have my sword. And this elf Legolas, he's like, you have my bow.
What? Why is everybody accusing him of theft all of a sudden?
No, they're saying they're gonna go with him.
Then say that, you weirdos.
So they end up forming the Fellowship of the Ring.
That's the name of the thing.
It is.
Wow, 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 wow.
So then the Fellowship, they're gonna start walking, right?
Okay.
And they're gonna keep walking, and also they're gonna walk. They're gonna walk so much, dude.
Okay, yeah, sounds kind of boring.
Actually, it's gonna be nice to look at because we're gonna showcase the beautiful scenery of New Zealand.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, just stunning landscapes. New Zealand is truly a beautiful place.
Okay, I mean, yeah, sure. So then what happens?
Well, there's gonna be a fight in a mine with some orcs and a troll. Frodo's gonna get stabbed again.
Oh, that guy's always getting stabbed.
Yeah, but this time he's wearing a nice little dress, so it all works out.
What?
Well, technically it's chainmail, but it's definitely gonna look like he's headed to prom right after the battle.
Well, okay then.
And then Gandalf, he's gonna have to stand up to this big fire demon, and he's gonna end up falling.
Oh, where does he fall?
Into the sequel.
Okay, great.
And then the good guys are gonna get attacked by orcs again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and this one guy, Boromir, he was being kind of sketchy about the ring, but then he ends up dying trying to save Merry and Pippin.
Oh, he's gonna die, huh? Definitely gonna get Sean Bean for that part then.
Okay, why are you producer people so obsessed with killing that guy?
Killing Sean Bean is tight.
Fair enough. So anyway, then Frodo and Sam, they take off in a boat, and everybody else, they go try to save Merry and Pippin, because they got captured.
Very exciting. And so, yeah, I'll be back to tell you about part two soon.
But shouldn't we wait to see how this first one performs?
No, I want to shoot these all at once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You in?
I mean, I guess. I do have a question, though.
What's up?
Well, I mean, if Gandalf has access to eagles, why not fly the ring to Mordor?
Oh, well, I mean, there are a couple of reasons why that's not really a possibility.
Okay, do you think maybe we should explain some of those in the movie?
No, I trust that everyone's gonna figure it out for themselves, and it won't lead to any confusion ever.
That is how these things usually go. So, you have a second Lord of the Rings movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Very exciting. So what happens in this thing?
Well, Gandalf is back.
Yeah, he fell off a thing, right?
He sure did, sir, but you're gonna come to realize that falling from great heights isn't really fatal for good guys in these movies.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah, so he falls and he falls and he falls and he fights that fire demon, and then they end up at the top of a tower and they fight some more.
How'd they get to the top of a tower?
Unclear, but then he's gonna finally kill the fire demon thing, and then he's gonna die, but then he's gonna come back.
Oh, yeah, he is?
Yeah, his spirit went somewhere for so long that he forgot his own name, but now he's back and he's all white.
Well, that is how death works, so no further questions.
No, this is like magic and stuff. That's not how death works.
Sure it is. So what else happens?
Okay, well, there's gonna be some more walking.
Oh, there is, huh?
Yeah, a whole bunch more walking. A ton of it, in fact. Even the trees are gonna walk in this thing.
I love it.
So anyway, Merry and Pippin, they've been captured by orcs, right? And they're being brought to Saruman.
Right.
And some of the orcs actually want to eat them. They're like, yeah, why can't we have some meat?
What? Do the orcs all have Cockney accents?
They do, yeah. Oh, inexplicable accents are toit.
And then the orcs are attacked by these dudes, the Riders of Rohan, and it's just a massacre.
Oh boy.
And for a little bit, we're gonna think that Merry and Pippin are dead, but then it turns out they're not.
Oh, fantastic.
So they head into the forest and they meet these big talking trees called the Ents, and these things, they talk super slowly.
Oh, well, I guess that's a good way to pad the runtime a little bit. How long is this thing anyway?
About 4 hours.
Oh my god.
So the Ents, they're gonna have this big council meeting, and they're gonna decide that they don't want to go to war.
Oh.
But then they're gonna see that Saruman destroyed a bunch of trees, so they're gonna go attack Isengard.
Okay, so the trees were treated poorly and now they want their revenge?
That's perfect. I love it.
Who is that?
Oh, that's just M. Night Shyamalan. Sometimes he eavesdrops on these meetings and tries to get movie ideas. That's not a good idea for a movie, M. Night.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, that's gonna be bad.
Yeah, he shouldn't write that.
So what does Saruman do when they attack? Does he do some kind of crazy wizard counter move?
No, he just kind of frantically looks around like he lost a contact lens or something.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so we're also gonna follow Sam and Frodo on their quest to destroy the ring.
And how's that going?
Well, they keep getting lost, so they team up with this weird creature called Gollum, and he's, like, obsessed with the ring because he used to own it.
Oh.
And this guy's freaking nuts. I mean, at a certain point of the movie, he's just having a full-on conversation with himself.
He's just talking to himself and replying as if he was two different people?
Yeah, he's freaking nuts.
Oh, this guy's got problems.
So he guides them to where they need to go.
He does, but when they get there, there are a bunch of soldiers and crap, and one of them comes really, really close to them.
Oh my god, it's gonna be tough to survive that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy.
Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they hide under this blanket thing, which looks exactly like a rock, so it works out.
How does it look exactly like a rock?
Well, technically, it's an elven cloak, so...
What's that made of?
Plot armor.
Oh, okay. And eventually, they're gonna get captured by Boromir's brother, Faramir, and he and his men are a little sketchy about the ring.
That frickin' ring makes everybody sketchy.
It sure does, sir, and eventually a Nazgul is gonna show up on this flying fell beast monster.
Oh no.
And the ring is gonna compel Frodo to go see the Nazgul and be like, hey, check out this ring. Pretty cool, huh?
That's a horrible impulse to have.
But then luckily Faramir's gonna shoot an arrow at the fell beast, and so the Nazgul's gonna be like, wow, okay, never mind.
It leaves.
Yeah, it leaves. It flies away.
But all of Middle-earth is hinging upon that one ring. The Nazgul's just gonna back off?
Well, he didn't realize they had arrows.
And doesn't this mean that Sauron knows exactly where the ring is now? And he sent all his forces towards Frodo?
Well, to be honest, sir, this part wasn't in the books, but I thought it'd be cool, so I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about the story implications.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Thank you.
So what else happens?
Well, Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli, they're still running around trying to find Merry and Pippin.
Oh, yeah.
And then they meet this King Theoden, but he's all messed up looking.
Oh, how come?
Well, he's being, like, controlled by Saruman with the help of this sketchy advisor dude, Wormtongue.
Never a good idea to hire somebody with worm in their name.
Or tongue, for that matter. Anyway, Gandalf Gandalf manages to use his staff to do a kind of magic exorcism thing, and he saves the king.
And so they kill Wormtongue?
They don't, no, because they're like, well, enough blood has been shed.
So they lock him up in a cell?
Nah, they let him go.
Feels kind of dangerous. I mean, he'll probably run directly to his boss and give him more information.
That's exactly what he does.
I bet he did.
Anyway, later there's a battle, right? And Aragorn, he falls off a cliff.
Oh no, is he dead?
Well, we're gonna think he's dead for a little bit, but heights don't affect him because he's a good guy.
Right, okay, yeah.
Oh, and he's also gonna have this flirty thing going on with this woman, Eowyn.
And what sparks that flame?
Well, they look at each other, so, you know, they're kind of in love now.
Very romantic.
And later in the movie, there's gonna be this massive battle at this place called Helm's Deep.
Wow, 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 wow. Ow. Ow.
Are you okay, sir?
I think I maybe got a little too excited there. Should I call an ambulance, or what's up?
No, I actually feel fine now.
Oh, I think you may have died.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Whoops.
Whoopsie. Well, welcome back, you know, producer guy the white.
Producer guy, yeah. That's what they used to call me.
Anyway, there's gonna be a battle.
Oh boy, and how does that go?
Well, there are only a couple of hundred good guys and like 10,000 orcs, so, you know, not great.
Yeah, those aren't good numbers at all.
But then some elves show up, and they're led by none other than Haldir.
Hey, I don't know who that is.
He was in the first movie for, you know, a couple of minutes, remember?
Kind of, maybe? It was a long script.
Anyway, he's gonna get this super emotional death scene, and people are gonna be like, no, Haldir!
Alright, I mean, you know, rest in peace, elf dude, I guess.
So then the battle keeps going, and it's not looking good.
Uh-oh.
But then Gandalf had told them to look to the east at dawn, and sure enough, he's there right on time with a whole big army of backup.
So wait, can he predict the future? That's a pretty precise statement to have given.
Vaguely, sometimes, when the plot demands it, yeah.
Very cool.
And at a certain point, King Theoden, he's gonna turn to Aragorn and be like, let this be the hour where we draw swords together.
Oh, a little art project. Not the best time for it, but still fun.
No, they're gonna stab orcs with swords.
That makes more sense.
And then they're gonna win the frickin' battle.
Fantastic.
And Gandalf's gonna be like, the battle for Helm's Deep is over. The battle for Middle-earth is about to begin. Stay tuned for movie 3.
Well, okay, that whole thing's a little on the nose. Maybe just cut out that last part at least.
Okay, I'll cut out the last part. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds great, but do you think maybe we're overdoing it with the fake-out deaths? It seems like we keep going back to that trick.
Well, I don't know. There might be one or two. So, you have a third Lord of the Rings movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And in this one, Sauron's finally gonna die.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, Wormtongue is gonna stab him, and he's gonna fall off a tower and die.
Wow, that's gonna be great in the extended cut.
What?
Yeah, if anybody wants to watch a longer version of the movie, that'll be great to have in there for sure.
But he's like one of the main bad guys, right?
Oh, okay, you're saying it would be, like, really satisfying, some might even say necessary, to see the end of one of the main antagonists of the trilogy?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right. Well, they could see it in the extended cut.
Okay.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, Sam and Gollum, they don't like each other, and Gollum is trying to drive a wedge between Sam and Frodo.
So kind of like in the last one?
Kind of like the last movie, yeah, but this time Sam is gonna straight up catch Gollum talking to himself about killing them and taking the ring.
Oh, wow, so I guess they have to find their way without him, huh?
No, Frodo's still cool with them. He sides with Gollum, actually.
What?
Yeah, he's like, well, without Gollum, we're definitely gonna get killed, so we should stick with Gollum, who, you know, definitely wants to kill us.
I guess that makes sense.
And later, Gollum manages to turn them against each other by framing Sam for eating some bread.
Seems somehow less serious than admitting your desires for murder.
Yeah, well, the thing about Frodo is that the ring is kind of making him into, you know, the worst. Just absolutely frustrating to watch.
Sure sounds that way. I'm starting to hate this little guy.
So then Gollum leads Frodo to this big spider.
Uh-oh.
And Frodo escapes, and then him and Gollum fight, and Gollum falls off a frickin' cliff.
Oh, does he die?
No, because the movie's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
And then the spider shows up again, and Frodo gets stabbed by its stinger.
That dude's always getting stabbed.
He is, yeah.
So he doesn't have his armor this time around?
His armor that looks like a prom dress?
No, yeah, he has it.
How come that doesn't protect him?
I don't know.
Fair enough. So what's going on with the other people?
Oh, they got some important information from a bowling ball, so they go to this place called Minas Tirith, this real wedding cake of a city.
Oh, delicious cities are tight.
And they're gonna meet the steward of Gondor, this guy named Denethor.
And what's his deal?
Well, he's Boromir and Faramir's father, and he's also, you know, just insane.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he sends Faramir to pretty much certain death, and then he eats food in a way that, you know, is gonna make the cherry tomato industry have a rough couple of quarters.
What?
Their stocks are definitely gonna take a hit when this movie comes out.
Alright, I mean, okay.
And Sauron's gonna attack, and they have, like, no soldiers, so they're in a bit of trouble.
Wow, gonna be tough to take on Sauron's army.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it turns out a bunch of frickin' ghosts have an outstanding IOU to Aragorn's family, so he's like, come on, ghosts, let's go.
Ghost ex machina, very cool, so nobody has to die.
Actually, they only show up once a bunch of people have died.
Oh.
Yeah, that elf dude Elrond only told him about it on the eve of the battle, so, you know, there's a whole lot of
slaughtering for sure.
That freaking elf has terrible timing.
Yeah, he's not the best. Then he also tells Aragorn what's going on with Arwen.
Which one is Arwen again?
Oh, she's the one who's like, you know, if Enya's music was a person.
Oh, right.
Anyway, she's dying because her fate is tied to the ring now.
What? Why?
I don't know. I thought that might make it more interesting.
Fair enough. And what's going on with Eowyn?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's Mulan now.
Oh, she is?
Yep. She pretends to be a man so she can go to battle, and she defeats this guy named the Witch King.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's like, no man can defeat me. And she's like, I am no man. And she freaking defeats him.
Oh, got him on a technicality.
She sure did, sir.
And what's going on with Gimli and Legolas?
Oh, well, they're gonna have this really funny thing where they're competing to see who can get the most kills.
Right, that was their whole thing in the last movie, too.
Yeah, it's the same thing again in this movie, except this time Legolas is gonna call Gimli his friend, so, you know, maybe that's a character arc.
Maybe.
And then that guy Denethor accidentally sets himself on fire and runs a mile to jump off a structure.
A very athletic human torch.
And then they win the battle thanks to the invincible ghost army.
Amazing.
But then they're like, oh crap, Frodo's not gonna be able to get past Sauron's army, is he?
Oh, they just realized that?
They did, so they're like, we'd better attack as, you know, a diversion.
Well, I guess it'll be pretty easy with that invincible ghost army.
No, they let those guys go.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Aragorn set those guys free.
Fate of the World is in the mix. Feels like maybe they could have squeezed another battle out of them.
Maybe. So anyway, then Sam and Frodo make their way up Mount Doom, and it's very difficult.
So how do they get into the volcano?
Well, once they get up, there's actually a very nice, convenient walkway.
Well, you'd think Sauron would have guarded that or, you know, closed it up. At least a little gyprock.
Yeah, well, he doesn't use any gyprock whatsoever.
Well, okay then.
So Frodo needs to throw the ring in the fire, but suddenly he's like, you know what? It's mine.
Oh, no.
And then he puts the ring on and he goes invisible and Gollum jumps on his back.
Oh, he's gonna need him to get all the way off his back.
Yeah, he's gonna get all the way off that thing.
Well, great.
By biting off Frodo's finger and dying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he falls all the way into the fire and the ring gets destroyed along with him.
Wow.
Yeah, and then some eagles come pick up Sam and Frodo and they fly away.
Amazing.
And then Frodo wakes up in bed and he sees all his friends come in and they're all super happy.
Wow. Well, what a satisfying ending to a great trilogy.
And then Aragorn becomes king and everybody bows to the hobbits.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, that's a great place to end it too. Very, very nice.
And then the hobbits go back to the Shire and nobody really seems to care about their big adventure, so it's a little weird.
Can't help but notice you're still talking.
And then Sam falls in love and he gets married.
Okay, yep, sure. All right.
And then Frodo finishes writing his own book.
Right, glad to hear somebody knows when to end things.
And he calls it Lord of the Rings.
That's the name of the trilogy that's somehow still going.
And then Frodo and Bilbo and Gandalf, they got on a boat because they have some other places to go.
Oh my God, was this whole thing just the first act of another adventure?
And then as they sail off in the boat, we fade to white.
Oh, we do. We fade to white.
We fade to white.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay. Well, I think it's a great trilogy.
And then we go back to the Shire.
Oh my God.
And we show Sam with his family, and there's a nice little voiceover from Frodo.
Please stop.
And then that's it, we're done.
I don't believe you.
We're all done, sir. Roll credits.
Is there a post-credits scene?
There's not, no, it's all done.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly squeezed a lot out of these books.
Yeah, that's about all there is to say about Middle Earth.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was checking the calendar of when it's okay to start making money off popular franchises again, and guess what's coming up soon?
Oh, is it Spider-Man?
Well, obviously Spider-Man's gonna get squeezed. That's like a 2-year waiting period. No, I'm actually talking about Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, the studio is getting tired of not making money off that franchise, so what are we thinking? Like a reboot? Maybe Zac Efron as Aragorn?
Well, although that is a horrifying idea that we'll probably do someday, I was actually thinking we could do The Hobbit.
Wasn't that one book, though, so we're just gonna do one movie?
No, I feel like we could get 3 out of that bad boy.
How are we gonna do that?
By padding the hell out of it and throwing a bunch of stuff in there that's just, you know, completely unnecessary.
Sounds good to me. So what happens in this first movie?
Well, we're gonna have Bilbo writing and talking about some of his adventures that we haven't, you know, cashed in on yet.
Very exciting.
And while he's writing, you know who's gonna pass by?
Who?
Friggin' Frodo Baggins from the Lord of the Rings movies.
He's from the Lord of the Rings movies.
He is, and so he's gonna walk by.
Wow, so what's he gonna do?
I just told you.
Oh, okay.
So then we're gonna flash back to a younger Bilbo and have him meet Gandalf.
And how does that go?
Well, turns out Gandalf chose him for an adventure, but he's not into it.
What's the adventure?
Well, see, there are these dwarves, right? And they used to live in this place called the Lonely Mountain.
Okay.
And they had a bunch of gold there and this thing called the Arkenstone, but then a dragon showed up and just completely ruined everything.
Right.
But now they think that maybe the dragon is gone, so they're gonna go back.
So why would Bilbo be needed for that?
Well, because maybe they're gonna need a burglar.
Is Bilbo a burglar?
He's not, no.
So I don't get
it. Listen, sir, I'd appreciate if you got all the way off my back about
out why Bilbo's needed, okay?
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
So anyway, Gandalf invites all these dwarves over to Bilbo's house without asking, and they start eating all his food.
And who are these dwarves? What are their names?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. There's Oin, Gloin, Keely, Feely, probably Beely, Dwaylin, Balin, possibly Sarah Palin. I don't really remember.
Well, that's okay. Are they going to have fun personalities so we can tell them apart?
Honestly, they're all going to kind of blend together. There are a ton of them.
Feels like it's going to be tough to connect with them emotionally.
Oh, most definitely. But there is going to be one named Thorin Oakenshield, and he's like the leader.
And what's his deal?
Well, he's Tiny Aragorn.
Oh, people like Aragorn.
They do. So anyway, these dwarves are going to be eating Bilbo's food, and he's going to be like, hey now, hey, stop it, please. Hey, hey everybody, hey. No.
Very funny.
Yeah, for like 40 minutes or something.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and he's really not into the idea of going on this adventure with them, but then he wakes up the next day and he's like really into the idea of going on this adventure with them.
So what changed?
Well, the movie has to happen, sir.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So anyway, they head out and then they get captured by these big dumb trolls that want to eat them.
Off to a very bad start.
Definitely, but then Bilbo stalls the trolls for like 30 seconds, which gives Gandalf the time to pop out and shine sunlight on them, so they turn to stone.
Wow, I guess maybe someone was brave in that situation.
Maybe. So what else happens?
We're also gonna have this other wizard, Radagast, who has a bunch of screen time and also some bird poop on his face.
And what's his role in the movie?
Well, he's gonna kinda tease that something evil is on its way and that the Lord of the Rings movies are gonna happen.
Oh, kinda tease the movies that people have already seen? Okay, yeah, sure, maybe that's a thing.
He's also gonna lead some orcs away from the dwarves at a certain point, but then just kinda circle back so an action scene can happen.
I guess that's helpful. And are we doing, like, cool practical makeup like in the original trilogy?
No, there's just gonna be a ton of CGI going on.
Oh, is that gonna look better?
Oh, yeah, no, God no, but it means we can still work on designs even after we've shot the movie.
Pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, so then they're gonna go to Rivendell and Gandalf is gonna have a conversation about how the Lord of the Rings movies are gonna happen one day.
Good to let the audience know that, I guess.
It's definitely gonna fill some screen time.
Fantastic.
And also the dwarves have this map that can only be read at the exact time of year as it was written under the exact same moon.
Oh man, so how long do they have to wait?
Not at all. It turns out those exact conditions are happening at the time that they're in Rivendell, so they're able to read it, no problem.
Oh, so why even mention that?
I don't know. Fair enough.
Oh, also we're gonna have this scene where they're all on the legs of these giant rock monsters that are like punching each other.
Oh, rock'em sock'em robots are tight.
And they're also gonna get captured by some goblins.
Made with CGI.
Oh, offensively so.
Wow.
And Bilbo's gonna manage to slip away, but everybody else, they're gonna get brought in front of the Scrotum King.
What?
Sorry, the Goblin King.
Oh, okay, and what's his deal?
Well, he knows that this orc Azog has beef with little Aragorn, so he wants to give the dwarves to him.
What's the beef?
Well, Azog killed his grandfather and he chopped off Azog's arm.
Okay, yeah, so they probably don't like each other.
And Bilbo's gonna end up finding the ring and then having a big interaction with Gollum. Remember him from the other movies?
I remember him from the other movies.
Yeah, and so Gollum wants to eat Bilbo, but instead they have this riddle battle.
And how does that go?
Well, Bilbo's gonna win by accidentally asking, what do I have in my pocket? Which isn't a riddle, but somehow that's still the winning point.
Well, and so how does everybody escape?
Well, frickin' Gandalf pops out and helps rescue them again.
Oh, that guy's always doing that.
It is his thing, yeah, for sure.
Amazing.
So they kill the Scrotum King and then they survive Deadly Falls without so much as a scratch.
That's Lord of the Rings tradition at this point.
It is, yeah.
Well, great.
But then they're gonna get chased by Azog and his orcs, and they're gonna get trapped in a tree.
Uh-oh.
But little Aragorn, he's so mad that he attacks Azog, and he just gets his butt kicked.
Not good at all.
But then Bilbo jumps in to help, and all the other dwarves, they jump in to help too, but it's still not going too great.
Oh, sounds like it's gonna be tough for them to get out of there alive.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gandalf has a bunch of eagles pick them up, so you know, that's that.
Well, great.
Yeah, so the eagles drop them off super far from their destination at the top of this super dangerous rock that's super high up.
Yeah, that's almost the opposite of helpful.
Yeah, and so then the movie's done. It's over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we get out of there. It's done.
I feel like not even one thing had a resolution.
That is accurate. Yeah, for sure. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's Lord of the Rings, right? So I feel like people are gonna like it no matter what.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you have a Hobbit sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So at the beginning of this one, the good guys are on the run, because the orcs, they're right behind them.
I thought the eagles picked them up at the end of the last movie and flew them away from the orcs.
Well, I guess by the time they got down from that giant cliff the eagles dropped them off at, the orcs had time to catch up.
Oh, very unhelpful birdies.
And so they end up hiding out at this guy Bjorn's place, and sometimes this guy turns into a bear.
Nice. What kind of role is he gonna play in the story?
Almost none, but the orcs are gonna be like, well, maybe we should back off from the dwarves for now, because there's a bear around.
around.
They're actively chasing a super powerful wizard, but they're scared of a bear?
That's what we're going with. Well, okay then.
So anyway, then Gandalf is like, guess what, everybody? I gotta go.
Oh, that guy's always leaving.
He is, yeah, because if he was with the dwarves on their adventures, he'd be able to solve all their problems. So we gotta sideline this beardy boy.
That makes sense. So where does he go?
Oh, well, he's gonna walk around and slowly discover that the Lord of the Rings movies are gonna happen.
Oh, I guess it'll be fun to watch him figure out what we know is gonna happen is gonna happen.
Yeah, so he has a little Harry Potter battle with some darkness and then gets put in a cage.
Why wouldn't the bad guys just kill him?
Well, because he's in the Lord of the Rings movies. They can't kill him right now.
Right, okay.
So anyway, Bilbo and the dwarves head into this forest and they get captured by spiders.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but by putting the ring on, Bilbo's gonna be able to be invisible and fight back.
All right, he's invisible with the ring. He must be pretty much unstoppable.
Well, actually, he's not unstoppable because he's gonna take it off.
Well, why would he do that?
So the scene can have a sense of danger.
Oh, he's doing it for the audience. Okay, that's nice of him.
Yeah, and he's gonna stab this one spider and the spider's gonna be like, ouch, that stings.
Okay.
And Bilbo's gonna be like, huh, Sting, that's a good name for this little sword I have. And that's how the sword he gives Frodo gets its name.
You mean we're finally revealing how the little sword got the name Sting? We're doing it, sir. Turns out it was a, you know, dying spider describing the pain of a fatal stab wound. Very good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the Lord of the Rings movies, but the whole time I was sitting there like, okay, but why is that little sword named Sting? Like, what's the backstory there?
A spider in a lot of pain.
It's a good thing we're making these movies, for sure.
Anyway, then Legolas is gonna show up. Remember him from the Lord of the Rings movies?
He's from the Lord of the Rings movies.
He is, and this dwarf Gloin is gonna show him a picture of his son Gimli. Remember him?
Where's he from?
The Lord of the Rings movies.
He's from the Lord of the Rings movies.
He sure is, sir.
It's all connected.
So all the dwarves end up getting captured by elves and put into little prison cells.
Okay, so these guys are just constantly getting captured.
Practically nonstop, sir. So then we're gonna meet this lady elf named Tauriel.
Okay.
And this dwarf Keely is gonna be like, aren't you gonna search me? I could have anything down my trousers.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. And so obviously that's gonna spark quite the romance between them.
Oh, it is.
It's just like in real life, you know, you make an overt reference to your junk the very first time you meet a woman, and that leads to them falling in love with you.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's how it works.
Actually, it is, sir, and I should know. I spend most of my time on the internet, and I almost went on a date one time.
All right, it does sound like you know what you're talking about.
Anyway, so I figure with this storyline, we're adding like a whole new dimension to the Hobbit trilogy.
What dimension is that exactly?
Is the hot little dwarf gonna get to sleep with the hot elf lady?
Gotcha.
So then Bilbo's gonna use his magic ring to become invisible and help them all escape.
This kind of feels like familiar territory.
And they're all gonna get into these barrels and escape down the river of questionable physics.
Oh, sounds exciting, but wouldn't the barrels just fill up with water and sink?
Not on the river of questionable physics, they don't. In fact, they practically take flight and take out hordes of orcs on their own.
Wow.
And then at the end of this big sequence, the elves are gonna capture an orc for questioning.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, and he's gonna be like, guess what? We hit that hot dwarf with a poison arrow, so he's gonna die in a couple of days.
Kinda weird of him to give up that random tidbit of information. Does he know that she's romantically interested in him?
No, but she needs to know this information for the plot so she can go heal him later, so this orc is just gonna kinda brag about it for no reason.
Oh, okay, he's a plot orc.
He is. So then the dwarves are gonna get to this lake, and they're gonna have to figure out how to cross it.
Oh, what are they gonna do?
They're gonna pay a guy to bring them across it.
Right, okay, that's a pretty straightforward way of dealing with that problem.
Yeah, so this guy Bard is gonna smuggle them into Lake Town in some fish barrels, and they're gonna come out of a toilet, and we're gonna spend some time talking about Lake Town politics.
Sure, you know, I guess we gotta fill these movies up with something.
We're also gonna find out that this guy Bard has something called a black arrow, and that's the only way to kill a dragon.
Oh, good, so the dwarves bring that up to the mountain?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, eventually Thorin's gonna get most of the gang going, and they're gonna head to the Lonely Mountain.
Nice, did they get captured along the way?
Not this time, surprisingly.
Oh, good for them.
And their map says that the last light of Durin's day will shine upon the keyhole on the mountain, but then it frickin' doesn't.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so Thorin's like, well, I guess it's time to pack it up and go home. This didn't work out at all.
What?
Yeah, he's all done with it. He gives up.
They came all this way, they don't even try looking for the keyhole for a bit?
They don't, but then Bilbo realizes that the map actually meant moonlight, so then he finds the hole, no problem.
Oh, unnecessarily vague ancient maps are tight.
So then Bilbo has to go inside the mountain and find this thing called the Arkenstone.
Right, and why do they need that again?
Well, because when they have that, it means that Thorin can rule.
How does the stone help with that?
Unclear, it just kinda does.
Does he show it to people like an ID card and they're like, oh yeah, that's the king?
Something like that, I guess. So anyway, Bilbo goes inside and there's just a sea of gold. Like, I mean, there is a ton of it.
Wow, gonna be hard to find the Arkenstone in there.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just kinda next to him. It's just kinda right there.
Oh.
Yeah, he sees it pretty much right away.
Wow, well, good, you know, great.
But then freaking Smaug the dragon pops out.
Uh-oh.
And then they have this big old conversation, but the dragon's like, okay, I guess I'm gonna kill you now, so Bilbo runs away.
Oh, okay.
And then all the dwarves show up, and they run around, and they realize they can't escape, so they decide they're gonna have to kill this dragon.
How do they plan on doing
doing that.
Well, they have this big intricate plan where they turn on a bunch of furnaces and run around and do things.
And the dragon doesn't just burn them.
No, in fact, he barely uses his firepower.
Oh, very considerate of him.
And so the dwarves are gonna make this giant dwarf out of molten gold and try to kill him with that thing.
I feel like beating a dragon with heat isn't gonna work.
Well, that's the way they're gonna go about it. So he's gonna get covered in molten gold, but he's gonna be totally fine because he's a dragon.
Right, because he's a dragon.
Because he's a dragon. But then he's mad, so he's like, oh, I'm gonna show you revenge.
Oh, so he burns them?
No. He takes off. He flies towards Lake Town.
What? Why?
I don't know. He's gonna go set them on fire.
Okay.
And then Bilbo's gonna be like, what have we done?
Wow, so do they manage to stop him?
We'll see.
What do you mean, we'll see?
Well, the movie's done, sir. It's over.
What are you talking about? We're just gonna end it there?
Yeah, Bilbo's gonna be like, what have we done? And then we're done.
Wow, well, it sounds incomplete.
It's just not resolving anything at all, but it's gonna be a fun-looking 3 hours.
Are we gonna go all in on the CGI this time as well?
We sure are, sir. I don't think anyone's gonna have a problem with it.
So, you have another Hobbit movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So Smaug is attacking Lake Town, and it's burning, and it's all on fire, and it's crazy.
Oh, just jumping right in.
Oh, yeah, sir, because remember we didn't really end the second movie? We just kind of cut to black so people would come see this movie?
Right, okay, we should probably wrap up that movie before jumping into the third.
Exactly. So Smaug is burning up Lake Town. I mean, he's really going at it.
And he's attacking Lake Town because he's mad at the dwarves he left back at the mountain that aren't even from Lake Town.
That's right.
Oh, a very strangely motivated lizard.
Yeah, and at a certain point, that bard guy is gonna shoot an arrow off his own son and kill Smaug.
Oh.
Yeah, and so within the first 10 minutes, Smaug is dead and the second movie's over.
Now, do you think that starting this thing with what should have been the climax of the previous movie is gonna have any weird effects on the structure and flow of this thing?
Oh, you know, I never actually gave that any thought. Okay, I gave it some thought now, and it's probably fine.
Oh, okay, great!
So anyway, that tiny Aragorn dwarf Thorin, he comes down with something called dragon sickness.
What does that mean?
It just kind of means he's gonna be a greedy jerk and make frustrating, nonsensical decisions for like 90% of the movie.
Oh.
Yeah, and he really wants to find the Arkenstone, but Bilbo's hiding it from him.
And are we gonna get to know the other dwarves a little more, get to connect with them a bit?
Nope.
Okay.
You know, instead of that, we're gonna spend a whole bunch of time with that Alfred guy, remember, from the last movie with the unibrow?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's gonna get so much screen time, sir, we're just gonna keep cutting away to him nonstop.
What kind of stuff is he gonna be doing?
Well, his whole thing is that he's greedy, right? And so Bard keeps giving him these tasks, and he keeps doing greedy things instead.
Well, why does he keep giving this guy tasks instead of literally anybody else?
I don't know, but he's gonna keep doing it.
Okay, and does this guy turn good or get his comeuppance in the end?
No, he never learns a lesson. He just kinda leaves.
So we're gonna give this guy a massive amount of screen time, and the character's not gonna change or learn anything.
That's right.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, we're also gonna have Gandalf get rescued from that little cage he was in the last movie.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, frickin' Galadriel and Saruman and Elrond show up, and they're all gonna punch some ghosts together for a while.
Oh, punching ghosts is tight. Get out of here, ghosts.
Oh, do you think you got one just now?
God, I hope so. That was a good punch.
Anyway, so then Galadriel turns into scary mode, and she yells at Sauron, and he's like, okay, I'll leave. Leave me alone. Stop yelling.
Oh, he takes off.
Yeah, and he's not coming back until the original trilogy starts.
So that whole storyline was kinda
nothing, yeah.
Wow.
So then thousands of elves and people from Lake Town show up at the mountain, and they're like, we have a claim to some of that stuff in that mountain, too.
Okay.
And Thorin is like, no, this is all mine, actually. So the elves are like, okay, well, we're gonna attack at dawn, then.
They have, like, thousands of troops versus 13 dwarves. Why wait till dawn to attack?
Well, I need them to wait till dawn, because I'm actually gonna have some orcs and dwarves and stuff show up.
Right, okay, I get that from the perspective of you wanting it to happen that way so the plot can move forward the way you want it to, but it doesn't really make sense for the elves to do that.
But I want it.
Oh, well, it sounds like you really do want it, so let's not get logic get in the way of that.
Okay, great. So then Bilbo brings the Arkenstone to the elves because he doesn't want the war to happen.
Okay.
But then there are orcs, so a war happens anyway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and the orcs, they have those giant sandworms from Dune on their side, so those things are gonna show up.
Oh, are they gonna dig right into the mountain so the orcs can claim it?
Nope.
Oh, are they gonna dig into the battlefield and take out the good guys from underneath?
Nope.
Are they gonna, what are they gonna do?
They're gonna make some tunnels for the bad guys and then disappear completely.
Oh, okay. Okay, and how did the bad guys even get these giant worms to work with them?
Okay, sir, they're not even in the movie anymore. Can we stop talking about them?
Oh, my bad, I guess.
And so everybody's fighting, and the dwarves are like, where's Thorin? We're gonna lose if he doesn't come out of the mountain.
Would Thorin and 12 dwarves really make that much of a difference?
Apparently so, but Thorin, he's still dealing with his dragon sickness, so he's not coming out.
Oh man, is it gonna be tough for him to get over that?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just kinda has this dreamy vision thing where he's falling in gold, and that cures him. He's all all better after that. He's good.
Oh, well, you know, great.
And then right when everything's going bad for the good guys, you know what's gonna happen?
The Eagles are gonna show up.
The Eagles are gonna show up. How did you know?
Just a hunch.
Okay, and then that Bjorn guy, he's gonna jump from an eagle into the battlefield and turn into a bear.
Oh, I bet he's gonna kick a lot of butt.
Oh, yeah, he will. I mean, probably. We're not gonna show anything. We're gonna cut away right after he lands.
You sure you don't want to show a giant bear fighting some orcs for a bit?
Absolutely, sir. I think the audience would rather see more of the unibrow guy.
If you say so.
We're also gonna give Legolas this amazing action sequence where I failed physics in high school.
Oh, sounds fun.
And also, Feely is gonna get killed.
Oh, no, it sounds like he was one of the dwarves, probably.
He was.
He was the John Travolta dwarf, and then his brother Keely's gonna get killed, too.
Oh, wow. You know, that certainly sounds like a thing that's gonna happen in this movie.
It is, and you know, he was in love with that elf lady, Tauriel, so it's gonna be pretty emotional.
So they were like, they were fully in love?
Fully in love, completely.
And they only had, like, 3 short conversations.
That's right, one of which was Keely just straight up referencing his junk directly.
I guess that's romantic.
And Tauriel is gonna talk to Legolas's dad and be like, why does love hurt so much? And he's gonna be like, because it was real.
Oh my god, are you okay?
Cool, yeah, sorry, I don't know why my body just automatically reacted like that.
Oh, weird. So anyway, then Bilbo's gonna get knocked out for the entire climax of the movie, because I didn't really know what to do with him.
This guy's barely in his own movie.
Yeah, he's not super important to the story. So then Thorin is gonna battle Azog.
Oh boy, how does that go?
Well, this freaking guy keeps hitting the ice they're standing on with this big weapon thing, and eventually Thorin tricks him into falling into the cold water.
Very smart.
Extremely smart. And then he stands directly over him and watches him through the ice.
That's okay, maybe he should wait a minute before.
And then Azog stabs him through the foot and bursts up through the ice.
How does he get the momentum to burst up through ice from underwater?
From the fact that I wrote that in the script without giving any further thought to it.
Oh, okay.
And then they both kill each other, and it's super sad.
Sounds kind of sad, sure.
And Thorin's gonna be like, you know, Bilbo, the world would be a better place if people valued home more than gold.
Oh, is that like the moral of the story?
Yeah. The moral of this trilogy of movies that we squeezed out of a single book in order to get a fan base to come give us their money is don't be greedy.
I see no irony in that whatsoever.
Neither do I, sir. Why would you even bring that up?
So I guess there's gonna be a big funeral for Thorin?
No. There's no time for that.
But there is time for a bunch of Alfred scenes?
Oh, a bunch of Alfred scenes for sure.
Well, okay then.
And then since people made fun of us for having too many endings in Return of the King, we're just gonna kinda end this real fast.
Well, wait, okay, so what happens with the mountain?
Something, I guess.
What happens with the Arkenstone?
I don't know.
Who becomes the king of the dwarves?
Somebody, probably.
What happens with that bard guy?
Oh, he's around somewhere, I imagine.
Are the people of Lake Town okay? Do they get a new home?
That's certainly a possibility. Who's to say?
Okay.
Oh, and Legolas's dad is gonna tell him, oh, you should go find this guy they call Strider. I bet he's gonna be somebody great someday.
Kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah, but this way we could shoehorn Aragorn into this thing.
He's from the other movies.
He is.
Amazing.
And so Gandalf is gonna be like, Bilbo, I know you found a magic ring. And Bilbo's gonna be like, no, actually, I dropped it. And Gandalf is gonna be like, okay, I won't look into that for like 60 years.
Nice. So what do you think?
Well, you know, it definitely sounds like Middle Earth has been milked for all it's worth. You know, all done.
Definitely.
So, you have a new show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we make a Lord of the Rings show.
That's a recognizable name.
It sure is, sir. So all we have to do is spend a bunch of money on the rights, and it's a guaranteed hit.
And also make a good show that people will like, presumably.
I mean, yeah, no. We'll see how it goes.
Amazing. So what happens in this thing?
Well, it's gonna take place like thousands of years before the Lord of the Rings trilogy, right? And we're gonna follow Galadriel.
Is that how people are gonna pronounce things the whole time?
Numenor.
It's pretty distracting.
Morgoth. Sauron.
Oh, please stop. Please stop that.
Sorry. So anyway, Galadriel's brother was killed by Sauron back in the day, so she's been trying to hunt him down.
Okay.
And nobody really believes her, but she's still, like, pushing on the search through the snow, risking people's lives, being real mean to everyone, and they're gonna get attacked by an ice troll.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this thing's super strong. It's taking out elves, but then Galadriel is so strong, she takes this thing out with no problem at all.
Oh.
Yeah, she's so good, it's not even a danger for her. She was never in danger. Danger at all.
That's kind of... So the main character's never in any danger?
Never, because she's so good.
Not super exciting, actually.
Not a danger on her horizon. Nothing's a threat for her.
All right.
Anyway, so the other elves are like, okay, we'll stop putting us in danger, and they put her on a ship to Valinor.
Stop.
And so they're basically sending her there to get rid of her.
Oh, so what does she do?
Well, just as they're getting there, she decides to jump off the ship into the water.
Is she planning to swim back to Middle Earth?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Oh my god, you're serious.
She's Galadriel. She can do anything.
Right. right, okay.
And then as she's swimming back, she's gonna come across some shipwrecked people, including this one guy, Halbrand.
And what's his deal?
Oh, well, he and Galadriel are gonna kinda team up throughout the season, but then at the end of the season, there's gonna be this big reveal that he's actually Sauron. So while swimming across an ocean, Galadriel just happened to run into the evil being she's been looking for. Yes.
That works.
Oh, thank God. So eventually they end up at this place called Numenor.
And what happens there?
Well, she tries to convince the Queen Regent to give her a ship to go back to Middle-earth.
Oh, she's got to do some diplomatic relations, huh? How does she handle that?
With massive disrespect.
Oh.
You know, see, sir, this isn't the Galadriel we know from the Lord of the Rings movie. She's still young and immature.
Right, okay.
She's only a couple thousand years old at this point.
Well,
anyway, also during this season, we're going to follow these little creatures called the Harfoots. And they're going to find this really tall, magical man who fell from the sky.
A tall, magical man, huh?
Yeah, and he's got a beard and long hair and a long robe.
So he's Gandalf?
No?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely Gandalf, though, right?
Okay, well, sir, it's gonna be kind of a big reveal later.
Oh, obviously being Gandalf is tight.
It's gonna be a big mystery, sir.
No, it's not.
Okay, so anyway, the Harfoots that are taking care of this tall magic man, they're very loving and wholesome.
Oh, that's nice.
Unless you become a minor inconvenience to them, in which case they will leave you to die.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and also at the beginning of the season, these orcs are gonna be digging tunnels.
Like for fun?
No, they're up to something.
Oh.
And they're gonna end up attacking this freaking village in the Southlands.
Are the villagers gonna fight?
A lot of them are, yeah, because two or three times per episode, somebody stands up and gives an inspirational speech.
Kind of a lot of speeches.
It is a lot of speeches. But what, are we supposed to just stand around and not listen to a bunch of speeches? No! Today is when we take our stand.
What are you even talking about?
I don't even know. I've written so many of those, my brain is basically mush at this point. Anyway, this village is gonna get massacred by orcs.
Jeez.
Yeah, but luckily Galadriel spent three episodes begging the queen for an army, so they sweep in and save the day.
How'd they know where and when to show up?
Hey, shut up. So then Galadriel is gonna present that Halbrand guy to the villagers and be like, by the way, this is the king of the Southland. So they're all like, oh my God, we have a king? That's great.
They're all just super happy. They don't have any questions about that.
That's right.
What? Why did she say this guy's king anyway?
Because he had this little royal emblem thing on him, but he says he got it off a dead guy.
That's pretty suspicious.
No, it's not. So everyone's on board with him being king.
All right.
Anyway, then this bad villager dude is gonna shove this magical sword into a giant Rube Goldberg machine that breaks a dam that fills up the orc tunnels with water, which makes a big volcano go off.
What?
Yeah, that just happened.
Why is that a thing?
And then freaking volcanic ash just swoops down and covers up the village, and Galadriel just stands there.
Man, it's gonna be tough for people to survive that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the important characters just kinda survive. They do get covered in ash, let me tell you.
But
very dirty people. A lot of cleanup they gotta do.
Pyroclastic flow is almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right, yeah, no, right, that's pretty hot. I should mention that queen lady does go blind.
Oh, I guess her eyes were open?
I guess so. So she's like, I don't want people to know that I'm blind. So she puts a big red cloth over her eyes.
Smooth move. Yeah, that'll do it.
Anyway, so then it turns out that that was the birth of Mordor.
Oh, how are we gonna show that?
The on-screen title is gonna change to Mordor.
That works.
Oh, and another thing that's going on throughout the season is that Elrond,
he's from the Matrix movies.
That's kind of correct, sir. Anyway, he's trying to get some info out of his dwarf friend, this guy Prince Durin.
And what's he trying to get?
Well, he's trying to find out what the dwarves are mining, and it turns out it's this stuff called Mithril.
Okay.
But Durin makes Elrond take an oath that he's not gonna tell anyone about this.
Yeah, sounds pretty serious.
Yeah, very serious. But then Elrond's boss is gonna be like, hey, are they mining that stuff? And he's gonna be like, I can't tell you, I took an oath.
I mean, that pretty much confirms it, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%, yeah, it does. Anyway, the elves need this stuff or they're gonna die.
Why?
Because they'll die if they don't get it.
Oh, all right.
So then they get a little piece of it and they wanna make it into some rings.
Oh boy, very important little circles.
And Halbrand's gonna suggest to Celebrimbor, one of the best craftsmen in the world, that he could combine some metals together to make the stuff stronger.
He's the best in the world and he hadn't thought of that?
That's what we're going with.
Well, okay then.
So then they make the Rings of Power.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And then Galadriel's gonna figure out that guy is Sauron and confront him.
Oh, so he kills her?
He kinda yells and takes off to Mordor, actually.
Why?
For season two, I guess. I don't know.
Got it.
Oh, and those little Harfoots are finally gonna get confirmation that the tall stranger is good.
How do they find that out?
He's gonna be like, I am good.
That'll do it.
And so, yeah, that's about it. What do you think?
Well, I have to say, it's a very recognizable brand name.
Sure is, sir.
So let's just make sure we make it in a way everybody's gonna love.
Absolutely, sir.
Or we just throw a bunch of money at it and hope it works out.
Oh, that sounds easier. Let's do that.
So, you have a second season of The Lord of the Rings : The Rings of Power for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Fans love when we slap our colons onto their favorite franchises.
Yeah, they do.
The cultural impact that the first season had is incalculable.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, in the sense that we don't have any data of any impact, but it's still pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
So tell me about the second season. What's going on with everybody?
Oh, well, we're gonna start off with some Sauron backstory, right?
Turns out he was betrayed and killed by Adar and some orcs, but then eventually he became the Venom symbiote, so he ended up being okay.
What?
Yeah, he tumbled around as Venom for a little bit before landing on his final form of scraggly but handsome 5 o'clock Shadow Man.
Pretty cool that he could customize his character like that.
Right? So anyway, then he got into a shipwreck and had a little meet-cute with Galadriel in the middle of the ocean.
So what's going on now that she knows that he's Sauron?
Well, she thinks they should use the rings forged in the first season to fight him, and the High King agrees.
Kings that get high are tight.
That's not... Never mind. So Elrond, he thinks not that. So he takes the rings and jumps off a big old waterfall.
Is he okay?
Obviously, yes. So he goes to see this old wise elf to help him, and the elf is like, no, we should totally use these rings.
So what did that accomplish? We filled up some screen time, and we're closer to our content targets on Amazon Prime Video.
Oh, wow. Yeah, super exciting stuff. So then Galadriel gets a ring.
How?
It rolls to her feet, and so she's like, well, that's mine now.
That works. And what about the other characters, like Tall Wizard, who is definitely not Gandalf?
Oh, well, we're gonna find out at the end of this season that he is Gandalf.
What?
Yeah, and that's gonna allow us to spend this entire season doing what every good prequel does.
Revealing how he got his name and accessories.
Exactly. So he figures he needs a staff, and he's gonna help those non-hobbit hobbits, and he's gonna get one.
Amazing!
And one of those non-hobbit hobbits is gonna kiss a boy on the mouth.
Ew.
Why?
I don't know, but that's in here.
Oh, okay.
And eventually, these other little folks that he helps out are gonna be like, well, thanks a lot, Grandalf. And he's gonna be like,
my name's gonna be Gandalf, isn't it?
Oh, it comes from mispronouncing an incorrect statement. That's kind of neat.
That's right, sir. Tom Bombadil confirms it.
Tom Bombadil?
Yeah, he's in this, and he's like, hey, I'm your quest guide or something. I don't know.
And how does Gandalf get the staff exactly?
He freaking finds it, but Tom Bombadil explains it's like in the books, you know, it's like a wand chooses the wizard type of thing.
Well, that's from Harry Potter, I think.
Whoopsie. Well, we'll do it anyway. So what's going on with the other characters? What's going on with Isildur?
Well, he's found by a horse and escapes some spiders and falls in love with a girl who's gonna leave him, but then isn't, and then he leaves her.
Hey, listen, that sounds like things that are definitely gonna happen.
They are.
And what about Elrondir?
Oh, well, I didn't really know what to do with him this season, so he's gonna pop out once in a while to help out in ways that involve him doing lots of flips.
Very cool.
But at a certain point, he's gonna get fatally stabbed on the battlefield.
Oh no, it's gonna be tough to survive a fatal stab wound.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, the next time we see him, he's totally fine, and we never mention what happened or mention it at all again.
So how'd he survive?
By being totally fine the next time we see him.
I guess that makes sense.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And what about blind queen lady in Numenor? She got blinded by a volcano in the last season.
Oh, well, she loses control of Numenor after a big bird decides that a guy with drastic eyebrows should be in charge.
What?
But then she regains power after a giant sea worm decides that she should be in charge.
Is their political system just based on whatever giant animal they come across?
Mostly yes, but then she gets accused of colluding with Sauron, so she's out again.
Dang, well, I hope she comes across a giant chipmunk or something.
Yeah, that might help. And then there's also stuff going on with those dwarves.
What's going on with those little dudes?
Well, the king gets a ring, and that drives him mad with greed and power.
Uh-oh, powerful short king.
So he starts digging like crazy and accidentally comes across the Balrog.
So what does he do?
He Leroy Jenkinses it and sacrifices himself, so his son and all the other dwarves go up and have a nice little funeral.
Are they not concerned about the giant fire monster they found in the basement?
Seemingly not.
And what is Sauron up to now that he's been found out?
Well, he heads back to see that elf Celebrimbor to make more rings.
Did nobody tell that guy about the situation?
No, they tried once and then didn't follow up on it.
Ah, well, they tried.
So now Sauron pretends to be the Lord of the Gifts, which means he's got a totally different hairstyle.
Oh, sick! New skin!
But he's got another trick up his sleeve.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, see, he convinces Adar and the orcs to attack the city.
How come?
Because then he can tell Celebrimbor, I'll stop them from attacking the city only if you finish making these rings.
Oh, did he stop making the rings?
Yeah, well, he stopped, because the frickin' city was under attack.
So he would have just kept going if Sauron hadn't planned that attack?
Well... Well...
Well,
listen, I do want to see some orc warfare.
Well, good. They would get there that way with this.
Very cool.
Yeah, they're going to do some freaking cool stuff, like destroy a mountainside so it crumbles down and dams a river, which means they can walk right across.
Hey, listen, I don't think that's how rivers or mountains work, but it's like I told my friend before he fell into a hole to his death. Oh, well.
Then there's also going to be a big fight scene between Sauron and Galadriel, because they're in love, I guess? I don't care.
And how does that go?
Well, she's going to get seriously stabbed and throw herself off a cliff to get out of there.
Well, she can't die. She's in the Lord of the Rings movies.
That's right, yeah, and so that's why... No, she doesn't. She's all right.
Well, great.
And, you know, in fact, anyone that we know from the Lord of the Rings movies that's in this show will not be dying in this show.
So that's... Yeah, I guess that'll be exciting to watch, even though we know they're not in any danger.
Right, because it's like, well, what if they have a bad day? They wouldn't like that.
Yeah, that would suck for them, probably.
Probably. So then all the main elf characters pose dramatically, and we're done.
Well, it sounds like a second season. Another one, number two.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope people like it so we can keep making more.
Well, that doesn't really matter. We spent well over $1 billion on this. We're in this now.
What?
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.